Did you know it's very important to come into agreement with people? You know, Word of Faith people are big on praying for people, and that's good. But I've had people tell me that they were ready to go home. And then they would get to that point and have all these people come to me saying, hey, we need to pray for them, get them out of that hospital and get them home, get them well. And I say, you need to get into agreement with this person. They make a decision, you need to be in agreement with that. That's not being cold and heartless. You know, sometimes people want to go home. That's not all that bad. You know, they know what's waiting for them. Amen? But can you imagine how irritating it must be to be trying to go home and have 100 people praying against you? It's not bad to go in there and get into agreement with somebody and say, man, go on home. You got the right. You fought your fight. Go home. Amen. Can I have a couple people help me with the communion? Jesus told us to take this as often as you will. You know, he gave us this. This is our medicine. I mean, this is something we can do every day. We could do it 3 times a day. We could do it once a week, once a month. But the important thing is to discern the body of Christ and release your faith in it. I asked a question to several different people, just random people. So why do you take communion? And I had answers that just went plumb across the board. But nobody said, well, when I discern the body of Christ, I can expect to have healing in my body. So we just discern the body of Christ. We see where this bread is made without yeast. And his body is certainly sinless. His bread has been beaten flat. He was beaten and bruised for us. And this bread has stripes in it. It's by his stripes we were healed. And it's been pierced. And this bread is slightly burned. That means the full wrath of God's fiery judgment was laid on Jesus when he was on that cross. And his body was broken. We're taking this for our health, our healing, our wholeness. We thank you for it. And he shed his blood. He didn't spill it. It wasn't an accident. It was a very bloody sacrifice, and it was for us. You know, the penalty for breaking the law was death. We certainly broke the law. But here's the deal. God treated Jesus the way we deserve to be treated so that he could treat us the way Jesus deserved to be treated. So we're taking this and we thank you for our health and healing in Jesus' name. Well, all right. Open your Bibles up to Galatians chapter 2. We're going to continue on with our study of faith. And remember, we're studying setting by faith. So what are some of the characteristics that we have as joint heirs with Christ? Have you ever wondered about that? We've been made joint heirs with Christ Jesus, but what are some of the characteristics? One of them, and first of all, we're faith beings. That's just what you've been made into, a faith being. We don't work at being one. We are men and women of faith. Now look at Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. It says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. There's a lot in there. But this is one of the things where you identify with Christ. It wasn't just Paul that was crucified with Christ. You were too. When Abraham cut that covenant with God, you were in his loins. The same way Adam, when he sinned, you were in his loins. And then just the very fact that you have Adam's blood coursing through your veins means that you have need for a Savior. Amen? Now the Bible tells us in Galatians chapter 3, verse 29, says that if you be Christ's, then are you Abraham's seed. You are the seed of Abraham. So when Abraham cut that covenant with God, you was right there. And you were in Christ Jesus when he got crucified. The Bible tells us right there, it says, I am crucified with Christ. You had to be with him when that happened. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Now here's the kicker. The Bible tells us that we have these earthen vessels. But it's Christ in us, the hope of glory. Amen? As long as we're in these earthen vessels, we're going to be attached to the earth. I mean, you're going to have a tendency to get into the flesh. I don't care how holy you may think you are, how righteous, how special. I don't care how much service work you do, how much you read the Bible, how much you pray. You're still going to have a tendency to get into the flesh. You're attached to the earth. Amen? But it's Christ in us, the hope of glory. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ in me. That's where the good comes from. It's Christ in us. Sometimes we don't see people all the time. And sometimes we put people on pedestals. We see them when they preach on Sunday. We see them at special revival meetings or whatever. And we think, man, that guy, how can I get it together like that guy? But we don't see him behind the barn when he smashes his finger. Here's the important thing. Don't judge yourself according to other people's experiences. Amen? That guy, I promise you, he's in an earthen vessel. He's attached to this earth. He's going to have a tendency to get into the flesh. Amen? I've seen people that thought, you know, people thought there were certain people that these other people had thought were just these faith giants. And I got around them, and they were so shocked full of fear that you couldn't hardly stand to be around them. They're attached to the earth, these earthen vessels. But here's the thing. We got to try to let Christ live through us as good as we can. Amen? We judge ourselves by what the Bible says about us. You know, we can't just look at somebody and say, man, he does one miracle right after another, right after another. Why am I falling so short? You know, he studied miracles. That's what he did. He studied in that, and the Holy Spirit got him in that line, you know. I watched Benny Hinn one time. Miracles just flowed in his ministry all the time, just flowed in his ministry. And he was on TV one time talking to they were interviewing him, and somebody started talking to him about finances, and he was just like a fish out of water. Why? Because he didn't study about finances. He studied about the operation of the Holy Spirit and operating in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. That's what he studied. Sometimes people say, well, this guy's got the gift of miracles, or this guy's got the gift of healing, or this guy's got the gift of faith. Well, that's what they've been feeding on. See, if you've been studying on one certain thing, say you study math all the time, and you finally get to be a math wizard, somebody starts asking you about science, and you just, why? Because you studied math. What you study, what you feed on, is what's going to build up in your spirit and in your soul. But it's going to be what you study and what you feed on. But here's the thing. We live by the faith of Jesus, the Son of God. In Him, we have His faith to put us over. All we have to do is step out and use His faith in us. He'll always put us over. But it's His faith. The Bible tells us to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. The Bible also tells us to be strong in Him, strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. It doesn't tell us one time that we got to be strong in ourselves. It tells us that we got to be strong in Him. So how are we going to be strong in Him? By feeding on Him, by taking His word in us, learning of Him. Amen? You know, there's stuff you just can't figure out, but the Holy Spirit can. And Jesus has been made unto us wisdom, righteousness, and sanctification. And these are things we're just going to have to sit and receive by faith. We're just going to have to understand that that's the way it is. We can't make ourselves that way. You know, we can learn of Him, and He'll cause wisdom to grow in us, but Jesus is the wise one. Did you know the Holy Spirit? He knows everything. Amen. Romans chapter 12, verse 3. Pressure put on people, especially in the Word of Faith circles, saying, you need to get faith. You need to get faith. You've already got faith. You've already got faith. But you've got to build it. You've got to build it stronger. It's like a muscle. Romans 12:3 tells us that God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Think about that. Every man, He's given to every man the measure of faith. How can we say he gave it to every man? Did you know you can't get born again without faith? How'd you get that faith? God gave it to you. You didn't come up with that on your own. God gave it to you. So that when you heard his word about God raising Jesus back to life and confessing with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, it got a hold of you in your heart so that you could act on it. God would not ever keep anybody from salvation. Amen? He gives everybody the ability to get born again. He's given every man the measure of faith. You've got enough faith to be born again. God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Not in part, but the measure. So who has faith? Every man has faith. We have faith because the word says we have faith. It is our responsibility to step out and use the faith that God has given us. We exercise it, becoming strong in faith, just like using a physical muscle. As we exercise our faith, we eventually feel faith rising up in us. It's just like a bodybuilder. You know, if there's no resistance, he's not going to build muscle. There has to be resistance. So in order for your faith to grow, there's going to have to be resistance. Too many times, people think, you know, they'll step out in faith, they'll believe the Word of God, and then they'll step out there, and the resistance will hit. And sometimes it'll be great resistance, depending on what you're trying to do. But the resistance will hit, and then they'll buy into the fear, and they'll step back and say, you know, that just wasn't God's will for me because that door was closed. You know, God doesn't close all the doors. That's a bad excuse. And Christians fall for it all the time. They think just because they hit that resistance, that's a door that God closed. You know, if God told you to go somewhere, you should expect resistance. You should expect the forces of hell to be out there doing everything they can do to stop you, to get you to give up, to get you to get in fear, give up and quit. You know, there really is an Antichrist out there. There really is. And you should expect to run into that. Come on in. Did you repent and turn into a word of faither? Why are you limping? Well, this gets some hands on you and pray for you. Come on up here. Okay. Well, get up here. Father, we plead the blood of Jesus over this dear sister of God. Father, we thank you for the healing of Christ that flows through this woman's body. We curse whatever has attacked her body. Command that thing to be removed from her leg. Cause her to walk in soundness, in strength. Father, we praise you for this. In Jesus' name, we're asking you for a miracle, a creative miracle in this woman's body. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, we love you. All right. Ha I think you better use discernment and wisdom when it comes to that vaccine. You know, I really think you need to put more weight in what God says than what man says. They came out this vaccine way too fast. And everything they make is made from broken creation. That's why we take communion every Sunday. That's why Jesus gave us communion. Galatians 3, verse 13 says that he redeemed you from the curse of the law. Every sickness that's known to mankind and every sickness that we don't even know about yet, we've been redeemed from that. Amen? You're going to have to receive that. Now let's carry on here. We feel that faith rising up in us. When we feel that resistance, when we feel that pushback to something we step out to do in faith, and we go ahead and draw a line in the sand saying, no, we're going to do this. We're going to see this through. What you're really doing is you're breaking out of your bubble. People like comfort. They like safety. They don't like things they don't know about. You know, they want to know what's around the corner, what's behind the door. But we're going to learn about that. You got to push through that resistance. And you're going to have to lean on the Holy Spirit. If he says go, go. But expect that resistance. You know what? I don't like that teaching that these people think. You know, if it's not easy, it's not God. That's not Bible. That's just not. Paul was told to go preach the gospel. And he went out all over the place. And he found resistance all over the place. I mean, he had shipwrecks. He got bit by a snake. He got stoned. He got beat. He got whipped. He got a lot of things happen to him. But he kept going. Well, he ended up in jail. I had a lady tell me one time, said, you should get married. I said, I know Paul was a single man, but he was in jail all the time. But look, he had resistance, and his faith grew stronger all the time. When you step out in faith, when you step out to do something in faith, you should be looking for that resistance. I got this one question. If you step out to do something, and it's just easy, 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 and there's no resistance, and you're not disturbing the devil, are you really doing something that God said to do? I mean, sometimes stuff comes relatively easy, but honestly, if you don't make the enemy mad, what are you really doing? That's a bad teaching. It causes people to give up. You know, they come back instead of teaching them to push through that resistance. Now go to Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Now, God told us that the just shall live by faith. Now, if he expects us to live by faith, then there's got to be a way for us to build this faith. And he's already given us the measure of faith. So there's got to be a way for us to build our faith. And this is exactly it right here. So then Romans chapter 10 verse 17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, in hearing by the word of God. Our faith is increased and fed by the word of God. There is no faith life apart from the word. Faith will arise in our hearts or spirits as a result of reading, confessing, and hearing the word. Memorizing the word isn't enough. We must confess it with our mouths to get it into our spirit. Our spirit man is more real and more important than our physical man. Did you know that? That's the real you. You are a spirit. You have a body. And you're attached to your soul. But the real you is your spirit being. That's the center, the core of a man. His spirit. It is vital that we feed him with the word of God. Without the word, our spirit man becomes weak and sickly. You know, you can look all through, you can look at all different kinds of people. And you can find people that have fed their intellect to the point where they're geniuses. You know, they have high IQs and they're smart and they can figure out all kinds of different math problems, science equations, and all this different stuff. And they weigh 500 pounds. And then you can feed, because they didn't take care of their body. And then you can find people that can tell you all different kinds of stuff in the Bible. They know all the different doctrines. They know all the different scriptures. And they're weak, physically weak. Then you can find these guys that have muscles, their arms are bigger than my legs. And they're dumber than dirt. See, we got these three-part beings, and it's important to take care of all three parts. Certainly, you have to feed your body, your physical body. You have to feed it. I trust God that He's going to make everything that I eat right. You know, because I'll eat every bottom feeder that crosses my path. And I like pig meat. And some people that just say, no, you shouldn't eat none of that stuff. God made it clean for me. I receive it sanctified by the word of my mouth. Amen. But you need to feed your spirit man, too. So that you can operate in this kingdom the way you were designed to, by faith. And you should feed your intellect. Now, it's important to pay attention to what you're reading and what you're listening to. You know, I run into people all the time that are just completely freaked out right now, because all this stuff that Biden says he's going to do. Well, they're feeding off of the wrong stuff. Amen? That doesn't mean you go run into the Bible to feed your intellect. You find stuff to feed your intellect. That's not the Bible. You feed your spirit with your Bible. You know, it's important to know some things that's going on. But you need to find truth. Amen? Be careful with television. Because you're being told visions that they want you to believe. They want you to see things that they have made up, and they make it appear real. And they want you to believe that. Don't buy into that. Did you know the War of the World was a psyop experiment? They wanted to see if they could do something with the radio to make people believe something. They're still doing it. Amen? Look at Romans chapter 4, verse 20. See, as we meditate on the Word of God, we'll become as Abraham. Romans chapter 4, verse 20 said that he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. See, in order for God to change a man, he has to get control of his tongue. I didn't say that you're going to stop cussing tomorrow. I said, he's going to get control of your tongue. What he did to Abraham, see, Abraham didn't always, he wasn't always Abraham. He was Abram one day. And God got control of his tongue. And he said, you're now Abraham. See, this is, I'll make it a lot simpler. He said, you're not going to call yourself exalted father anymore. You're going to call yourself the father of many nations. Well, Abraham didn't even have a kid at that point, and his wife was barren, and they were getting old. So what was God doing to Abraham? He was getting control of his tongue and causing him to call things that aren't as though they were. And he did this for years and years and years and years. And he did it and he did it and he did it. What was he doing? Well, he was meditating on that word. Every time he said, I am Abraham, every time he said, I am the father of many nations, he heard himself say that. Every time he met somebody, he'd have to say, I'm the father of many nations. Every time one of his employees addressed him, they'd have to say, father of many nations. He kept hearing that in his ears, and it kept getting in his heart. And then he'd say it again. And then pretty soon, Ishmael happened. Well, that wasn't the way it's supposed to go down. What happened? And he said, well, this thing ain't going the way I thought it was going to go, so I'm going to help God out, and I'm going to go over here, and I'm going to do it my way, and we're going to make something happen. He made something happen. We're still dealing with it. But God didn't kick him out of camp. He didn't kick him out of the family. He got him gathered back up. Got him going again. And then Isaac happened. What happened was he called things that weren't as though they were until one day it happened. That's the basics of faith. We can look at the natural things, and we can talk about the things that we have. You know, let's go to Mark chapter 11, verse 22, and we'll finish up with this, because we won't have enough time to get to the next step. But go to Mark chapter 11, verse 22. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. Literally, he's telling them to have the God kind of faith. The God kind of faith. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Jesus talked about doing something with our mouth three times in there. He talked about believe once. But he said, those things that you say shall come to pass. He told us that we can have what we say. But we have been majoring on saying the things that we have. See, we run around talking about our sickness instead of talking about our healing. We run around talking about poverty instead of talking about the wealth that we have. We talk about our natural circumstances as though that's the way it will always be. Well, that's true. If you keep talking about your natural circumstances like they're always going to be that way, then they're always going to be that way. It's a spiritual law. But if you call things that aren't as though they were, then you can take these natural circumstances and change them and make a whole new reality for yourself. You know, when you get sick, you can say, I've been attacked with a sickness. Don't ever claim it. You know, I don't have a cold. I don't have the flu. You may have been attacked with a cold. You may have been attacked with the flu. You may have been attacked with whatever it is. But your job is to call things that aren't as though they were. That's how we're going to do that. We're going to find a promise in the Bible where it says, by His stripes we were healed. And we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about how Jesus paid for our healing, and it's ours. We're going to talk about how Jesus gave us healing through the Holy Communion, and we take it by faith. We're not going to talk about having a sickness. We're going to talk about having a healing in our body. Same way with finances. Same way with any other problem that you're going to have. Any other resistance that you're going to have. So you have to find that in the Bible and meditate on that answer, just like Abraham did, and get that answer in your heart so that you can become fully persuaded and then speak it forth out of your mouth as if you already have it. That's how you receive it. Amen? And thank Him for it. Thank You, Father, for Your word. We thank You for Jesus and everything He did for us on His cross. We thank You for everything that Jesus did in His death, burial, and resurrection. Father, we thank You that Jesus, our high priest, is making intercession for us. And He sent the Holy Spirit here to guide us and teach us, empower us, show us how to rightfully discern Your word so we can operate the way we're designed to. We thank You for this in Jesus' name. Amen.